This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
Okay, you might have saw online that we're involved in a sports radio beef with a Kentucky sports radio station. This morning, just like yesterday, I listened to one segment of their show, and that's all I needed to hear. Now, we've got bigger stuff to do than appease Twitter, including Luke May, who's going to join us in 15 minutes. But here's what I've been told took place. They spent over half their two-hour show talking about us, and Big Blue Nation is still upset. Here are the popular responses I've received. You look like Drew Carey. Apparently, Robert, I don't talk like a person.
Unfortunately, this is how you talk.
Unfortunately. And I suppose both of those things are fair game. However, an argument that isn't fair to send through is that this show is irrelevant. At least not for Kentucky Sports Radio, because in review, this guy on Twitter admitted to listening to our radio show for an hour. Remember, I couldn't get through two segments. 1 hour. He tweeted at me twice with my name in it. Then promoting his show today, he called me Josh What's-His-Face. Really good stuff there. Then he spent half his show talking about me. Now, what's it say about me and our show that this guy's going to spend half his two-hour program talking about us? Actually, let me turn it around. What's it say about his show that he's going to talk about someone who's irrelevant for over half the damn program? 2 hours. I've got 4 hours. I got a lot better things to do than try and deal with some guy who probably covers the Lexington Legends when he's not covering Kentucky basketball. My show that he called irrelevant, it created national headlines this week. PTI, highly questionable. USA Today, second biggest story on ESPN. That came from this show. Not that show, this one here. You played sound on your show from this show yesterday. Get your facts straight. We created content for you yesterday and today. You should be thanking us, not coming after us. I mean, come on. Drew Carey stuff, that's fair. My face, very punchable. I'll admit to that. Irrelevant? Why are you spending half your two-hour show on it? Can you not create content? I've got plenty of stuff here. Because guess what? As a lot of people are learning on social media today, I don't just cover Wake Forest. I cover Duke. I cover North Carolina. I cover NC State, Appalachian State, East Carolina. And Kentucky fans, you might not know much about this, but major professional sports too. Oh, but you don't have a lot of Twitter followers. Okay. But I do have an NFL team that we cover. We had Matt Rhule on the show this past week. Roy Williams on the show this past week. Lincoln Riley on tomorrow's show. Luke May in 10 minutes. Bruce Pearl yesterday. We created national headlines. It doesn't sound like that's something you're getting from an irrelevant radio show. Now, I didn't come after you and say your show was irrelevant. I didn't say that we were punching up or punching down. I just said I listened to one segment of your show and it was garbage. That's all I said. Now, you can disagree with me on that front, even though I know you acknowledged on your show that it wasn't your best work. But that's all that happened with this. That's all that happened here. 10 minutes. Luke May gonna be our guest again. Moving on. I'll tell you who the big winner this week's been. It's not our show. It's actually Steve Forbes. Steve Forbes, He's done something in the last week with Wake Forest basketball that I don't think we've seen in over a decade, maybe not since Skip Prosser was the coach.
Ooh.
He's made Wake Forest viral twice in a week span. Today marks the one-week anniversary of Coach Forbes being hired, the infamous video with him spiking a medical face mask into the floor, John Curry asking, are we going to graduate our students? And him saying, yes, we are, for some reason. But I thought it was tremendous. People were talking about it. You got Chris Long, who's quote tweeting it, and Ryan Russillo, who's talking about it from The Ringer. I don't remember the last time those guys were talking about Deacon basketball. Can you? That didn't happen under Danny Manning. The other thing's this. Steve Forbes, he isn't afraid of Kentucky. And I think it's justified. Yes, he loses Olivier Saar, but all indications I got before the season ended, he was going to be transferring anyway. I think he sent a message with his statement on this show a couple days ago. He's not going to back down from anyone. It's not just words he says in a press conference when he's introduced last Friday. From 2008 to 2011, the 4 years he was on the bench with Bruce Pearl at Tennessee, same league as Kentucky, Tennessee won 100 basketball games. Same time frame, 2 years of Cal included, 2008 to 2011, Kentucky basketball won 104 games. They were level playing field for 4 years, those being the 4 years that Forbes was in the Southeastern Conference. Tennessee, never in their history, the number one team in the country. They were in 2008. Top 10 recruiting classes in 2006, 2008, and 2010. Less resources and the same amount of success. One SEC title for Tennessee, one for Kentucky. Also, aside from Kentucky fans, college basketball fans everywhere loathe Kentucky, which means they loved what Coach Forbes had to say earlier in the week. I compare it to Step Brothers, one of my favorite comedies. You remember, Robert, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, they're sitting up in the clubhouse. It's Brennan and Dale, and the douche brother of Brennan climbs up the clubhouse, says he hasn't eaten a carb since 2004. It's played by Adam Scott, and John C. Reilly punches the guy in the face. All of a sudden, Adam Scott's wife is in love with Dale because he did that. That's what Steve Forbes did. Steve Forbes is John C. Reilly, and he punched Adam Scott, a la Kentucky, in the face. And everybody in college basketball is loving it because they can't stand the Kentucky Wildcats. They're the most obnoxious fan base in all college basketball. It's a funny thing. I presented that argument yesterday. Hey, who's the most obnoxious fan base in college sports? I said it's Kentucky. They got mad about that, and then they proved why they're the most obnoxious fan base. Constantly in my mentions. Spelling things wrong, which doesn't go great when you're trying to argue that Kentucky has this great education over there. It's been quite a day. Looking at Barrett Sports Media that's talking about this feud. And I see that they wrote a full story as well with all of our quotes in it. And it's pretty amazing. Don't see that often for an irrelevant radio show. Darren Vaught, he's going to join us later this hour. Robert, you were on speed dotting last night?
I was.
Give me the Instagram DM count at this point.
I actually, as of recently, I have received two DMs, but I will preface that by saying one of those DMs was from my friend's uncle telling me he thought I was very funny. Not exactly what I was looking for, but hey, Sam, I will take it. Thank you for the DM.
You could still find that on Instagram Live, I think.
For sure, yeah. Check out B-Dot's Instagram. It's just straight B-Dot.
So, we're going to have Luke May here in a few minutes, and there are a number of things I'm interested in talking to Luke about. It's not just about his game-winning shot against Kentucky in the Elite Eight in 2017, albeit we will spend some time on that for sure. But when I look at his career trajectory, I'm fascinated with what the next level can be for Garrison Brooks on campus. Because Luke, he didn't play much his freshman season, nor his sophomore year. But all of a sudden, his junior season, he really blossomed into an all-ACC caliber player. He came out of nowhere to do so. How does that happen? Because Garrison Brooks, people were doubting him. We didn't know who was going to emerge out of that class among the bigs, if it was Garrison or Sterling Manley. Clearly, it's Garrison Brooks after this past year. And in the post, Robert, you got the two five-star kids coming in, Dayron Sharp and Walker Kessler. But you also have Garrison Brooks and Armando Bacot. That's going to be in the post as well. Armando. Can Garrison take another step from being the all-ACC player he was this year in 2020-2021? How does that happen? Luke has interesting perspective on that, I'm sure. Also, Coach Williams was with us last week, and he told us that after the title game loss at the buzzer to Villanova, Michael Jordan, he addressed the team. And with The Last Dance still being a big part of the conversation over the last month, I'm interested what Luke remembers about that message he shared in Houston. Tar Heel great Luke May is going to join the show to talk about that and probably take some shots at Kentucky next on The Drive.
Stand by as we continue our dig for the truth and the toy at the bottom of the cereal box.
Oh, got it.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
We are Sharon with Darren Vaught, who now joins us from the USA Baseball Podcast, covering the bases. Darren, it's been an interesting week, to say the least, and I'm not sure how much KBO baseball have you been watching, because we've picked a team. They got NC in the name, so we're all about the NC Dinos that right now are off to a 2-0 start, and I think are now 3-0. This is our team because Mike Wright is on the roster, former Baltimore Oriole, former East Carolina Pirate. And on top of that, Sawyer was in the day that the season started. He's a big video gamer. NC comes from the company NC Soft, which makes a bunch of video games, of course. So we made a good selection here, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. They were my team right out of the gate. A lot of the teams in contention in the KBO, they'll have the most, still not many, but the most familiar names on their roster if you're a Major League Baseball fan. But now 3-0, they housed whoever it was this morning. I didn't get up early enough to watch, but you know I'm box score watching.
I know Robert Walsh was up early to watch that. Perhaps we can get an update on that later on in the show. But speaking of KBO, the Seattle Mariners, I think the most popular player not named Ken Griffey Jr. to play for that team, Ichiro Suzuki. You love Ichiro, you love slap hitters, and I think since it would be very difficult just to come up with Korean baseball players, since there's so little to play in Major League Baseball for this game, and it would be confusing for the audience to go just with the continent Asia to figure out who might be coming from Japan or from China, we figured Ichiro, well-known, played for the Mariners. That's going to be our team this week. Pretty good reasoning there. So let's go ahead and hit the imaging. It's time to figure out the Imagine Dragons of the Seattle Mariners.
We discovered who the Nickelbacks of Major League Baseball were.
Doug Minkiewicz.
Marcus Giles.
Johnny Estrada.
He might be a top five Nickelback of Major League Baseball.
Look at this photograph.
Now we're looking for the players who embodied the last decade of baseball.
Salt and sweat?
No, not the best players. Believer. This is the Imagine Dragons of 2010's baseball.
I feel the need to explain this for anybody who might be new, who has not heard this segment before. We're not looking for the best players, as they pointed out there, but we're nostalgic about baseball. So last summer, we picked out the most memorable guys of the 2000s. So it wouldn't be like Ichiro, but give me an example of somebody who would be a Nickelback of the Seattle Mariners very quickly, Darren Vaught.
John Halama, relief pitcher extraordinaire.
There you go. John Halama, that's a memorable name. That's what we want. You're not awful, but you're not great. So you're Nickelback, or in this case, for the last decade, you're the Imagine Dragons. In terms of being too good for this list, my
not
list
many.
Is only, I think, three names long. Cano, Felix Hernandez, and Ichiro.
Yeah, and I would even say, because he was on the most recent Hall of Fame ballot, he's not close to a Hall of Famer, but Raul Ibanez, probably maybe just a little too good. Although, I would hear out an argument.
Nah, Raul Ibanez is off the list as well. I got three really good ones, and I'm going to hit you right off the jump with Dustin Ackley.
Yes!
Dustin Ackley.
Fantastic. He was one of my first three as well, so that one's good.
How about Kyle Seager?
Not bad. North Carolina product, Kyle Seager.
Give me a pitcher, because I'm finding difficulty to find pitchers.
Oh, dude, they've had plenty of, let's just say, irrelevant pitchers. Since we were sticking with the Asian theme, how about Hisashi Iwakuma?
Tremendous. I had him written down right here. Iwakuma is a great one. Is J.A. Happ too obscure?
No, I think a lot of people recognize him by name, whether or not he's good. For whatever reason, he's just got a name that's distinct.
I got one more position player here. I'm going to hit you with Justin Smoke.
Yes, Justin Smoke. College baseball legend, but just didn't pan out quite that way in the bigs. He was a decent player, but...
See, some of these I feel like you have written down, and they're just going to hurt my feelings if you say they are Imagine Dragons. Like, Nelly Cruz is too good for this list.
Yes, for sure. I didn't even think of him. He would qualify as a Mariner, I guess, but I think of him primarily as a Texas Ranger.
Not a Baltimore Oriole.
And a Baltimore Oriole as well.
Yeah, you found a way to hurt my feelings without even trying.
How about, speaking of which, you mentioned the podcast, this is a bit of a tangent, but I just talked to Adam Jones the other night, Mr. Baltimore Oriole. And I say the other night because he's in Japan now, as he signed with Ichiro's former team, the Oryx Buffaloes. They're not playing yet, but it was like middle of the night for me and lunchtime the following day for him. So that was a lot of fun. But in terms of Imagine Dragons, how about middle infield mate Nick Franklin and Brendan Ryan?
Brendan Ryan is the definition of what we're looking for at this game.
Yeah.
Brendan Ryan is just, mwah, chef kiss in the fingers. Fantastic stuff there. I have time for one more, Darren. What do you got?
Ooh, one more. Oh, okay. All right. Mike Morse.
Absolutely Mike Morse. You knocked this out there in the day. Great work as always. I got to ask you on the way out, for no reason, most obnoxious fan base in college sports.
For a totally unrelated off-topic reason, I feel the need to bring up a sports documentary that I think was called Big Blue Nation. And I'm speaking only about the documentary here, was just a huge CF, if you know what I mean. It was just like bringing in name after name after name and putting them on screen to talk about how they were fans of Kentucky basketball, and that's really all they had to do with Kentucky basketball or the University of Kentucky. So for unrelated reasons, I just gave you a quick binary documentary review.
Have you had any issue with The Last Dance?
Not really. I've seen others – a little complainy about the chronology. That's fine to me. I don't know if it sets a precedent that I love with Michael Jordan holding a lot of the power in what the content is. I think it's been fantastic, and because he's been open and honest about things in areas where we've never heard him talk before, it's worked. But I don't necessarily love the precedent, because now, like, Dwayne Wade's talking about doing something about the Heat, and it's just not a good look for people who value the truth.
Darren, thanks so much for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Of course, anytime. See you guys.
He's on Twitter at Darren Vaught. I have something to add on that front. I see a lot of people, since Ken Burns came out here and criticized The Last Dance because Jordan's production company was listed as a partner, people think that, for some reason, this is now just propaganda. Jordan propaganda. Jason Heyer is a tremendous director. I've watched every single documentary he's ever done. The Tennessee documentary on Bernard King and Ernie Grunfeld was great, one of his earlier docs. He also did the Chicago Bears, the 1985 Bears, the 30 for 30 right before Buddy Ryan passed. Robert, I know you've seen the Andre the Giant HBO doc that he did right before The Last Dance. That was the most recent one he's done. All of these documentaries are just really good. The Fab Five, very good, and a difficult one to maneuver through because Chris Webber wanted no part of the project. How do you make a Fab Five documentary good without Chris Webber any part of the operation? He found a way to do it. It's still one of the most popular 30 for 30s out there. Now, when it comes to Michael, Heyer said earlier in the week that Jordan did not tell him to cut anything out. He said there are times he believed Jordan just didn't even watch the episodes altogether because of how little he cut out. And we saw bits and pieces of that in episode 6 when they're talking about the North Carolina 1990 Senate race where it's Jesse Helms going up against Harvey Gantt. Michael's mother wants him to get involved in this, support Gantt, who ended up losing to Helms, of course, in 90. He said in the doc, this is the first time I heard him address this, that he gave Gantt's campaign money, just didn't publicize it at all. They included a clip from Barack Obama criticizing Jordan for not being as public with his political beliefs, not wanting to be an activist in any way. I think Obama's exact words were, "It disappointed me." You don't think that MJ, if he watched that, would say, "Yeah, let's not include the part where the former president is just criticizing me"? Apparently, episode 7, it's the worst of the bunch. Worse in terms of how bad it might make Michael look, which means for us, it might be the absolute best of the bunch. Like the Scotty Burrell stuff, that's coming this weekend. We saw a bit of that when they're on the plane together and Michael's saying this guy's up too late. He's Dennis Rodman 2.0. He's never had just one woman in his life. Hey, M. My parents are going to watch this. Well, mom and dad, your son is an alcoholic. Yeah, that's the type of Michael I want to see. Episodes 7 and 8, I was told this from the very beginning by people who got advanced screenings. Episodes 7 and 8, they're going to be the meat of this doc series. They're going to be the highlight of the bunch. So, for those criticizing it, it's just interesting to me. We literally have nothing else to talk about. That's why a Kentucky sports radio station is spending, in a 2-hour show, more than half their show talking about us, because people can't find something better to talk about. Right? How are we going to criticize one of the things that feel like sports? That feels like a little bit of normalcy, where we don't have to talk about the coronavirus. We don't have to talk about the thing that's on every single channel. It just seems strange to me. Anytime something's good and people like it, there's always the person who has the slant. Oh, I'm going to go the other way. In a matter of fact, it wasn't so great. Now, I'm not even really knocking Ken Burns, because apparently, after the comment came out, Burns reached out to Jason Heyer, apologized, and said that he was misquoted. He says he's enjoyed the Last Dance doc. So if Ken Burns is apologizing for a comment that he said was misquoted, he was misquoted in, and says it's pretty good, I'd like to imagine it's good enough for the rest of us as well. However, and wherever you are listening, we certainly appreciate that. The Drive is broadcast live on these following signals: WSJS Winston-Salem, WCOG Greensboro, WPCM Burlington, WMFR High Point. Those signals making up Sports Hub Dryan.
All right, I think all the levels are set.
Showtime.
Now?
Right now.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
Come on down! Apparently I look like Drew Carey to some. To more than a few of you. However, and wherever you might be listening to this show, this is The Price is Wrong, Kentucky fans. Thank you for all the responses that were so friendly, that were so kind. Ah, yes. I feel like we need to get to the five best responses I've gotten so far. Maybe there might be a bonus in there based on some of the ones I'm getting as the show begins. All right, Robert, let me start with this one here. It comes from a guy named Ryan. He tweets, Josh Graham looks like the youth pastor who gets caught in a prostitution ring. Can you explain to me why Kentucky fans were mad about the banjo music playing?
I don't know. I think it's because they're the bluegrass state.
It is the bluegrass state. But no, you were mocking them with your southern accent, even though you have the thickest southern accent I know.
I prefer hick accent, right, but whatever.
Sorry about that. Next one. This comes from Kathy. Such a great day to be a UK basketball fan. Right at Jack Graham Radio? At Jack Graham Radio. I feel for that account because it seemed a couple people started piling on that way soon after that.
That's not your brother that went to Carolina, is it?
No, it's not him.
Daniel
tweets in this, Josh looks like a middle-aged, depressed Clark Kent with no powers. That's fantastic. Brett says, at Josh Graham Radio, man, this looks like a guy who would give H jobs at the truck stop for pure joy of it.
Somebody let me know what truck stop that is.
Yeah, I'll be sure to let you know.
Availability and all.
This is one I got right before the show started. It comes from Big Dan.
Ooh, Big Dan.
Big Dan. It's ironic that Wake Forest radio host Josh Graham has someone with a Duke jersey in his profile picture and Nick Offerman in an ETSU jersey on his banner. No wonder their best players don't want to stick around. Their biased media can't even rep their own school.
He did not sound like a dapper Dan.
Big Blue Nation, you want to tell him or should I?
You got it.
Nick Offerman? I think that's Zach Galifianakis. East Tennessee State, that's actually East Carolina. And Wake Forest radio host, as I think I've proven with Roy Williams on this show, Luke May on this show, I think pretty strongly I could say Coach K is probably going to be our guest at some point next week. We cover four Big Four teams. And this might be a crazy idea to you guys listening if you do root for Kentucky. I mean, I'm just going on a whim here. But in North Carolina, there are so many teams, you can't actually be a Homer Media member. You can't do it. Homer Sports Radio, that doesn't work down here because there's one, two, three, four ACC Big Four teams. Counting. It's fun. And there's East Carolina, Appalachian State, there's the Panthers, there's the Hurricanes. Pro sports teams, another thing that might be obscure to somebody living up there. So this, it's a different type of market. I don't work for Wake Forest. I'm not a Wake Forest fan. It's funny. People on this show, it's funny. Fans have criticized me for being a closeted Duke fan. Carolina fans said, like, well, actually, on the real, Josh, he likes the Tar Heels. It's obvious. Clearly, oh, he went to East Carolina. He must root for them. And now, I'm the person that's trumpeting Wake Forest more than anything else? It's just kind of a strange thing there. Really bizarre. That I'll have Duke in my profile, East Carolina in my profile, and talk about Wake. Crazy. All right, I got one more. Let's just get to this email. It's a little bit longer. I got this one last night. It comes from a delightful man named Chad. This one's pretty good. Let me make sure I pull it up right. Okay. Damn, dude. That tireless old cliche about Kentucky being all backwards and marrying our sister is pretty pathetic, considering you live in North Carolina, where we all know you're, spelled you are, dad's, no punctuation, your, again, you are, uncle. You. God, I love people who write just the letter U instead of Y-O-U. Because two more letters would be such a chore.
Kentucky education.
Wasn't going to say that. You don't want to come at this fan base, boy. You do a show in Winston-Salem, dude. Seriously, come on. Everyone in Lowe's. It's the armpit of NC. And really, the thing is, you can't do any better because no one wants you as a host. Nailed it. Exactly. What is Wake Forest's claim to fame in ball again? How many titles exactly? Don't come at us unless you're ready to... Unless you two-bit wanna be. I've heard your show. My 10-year-old can do better. Wow. He must have a
Bring
career in front of him.
Here.
And why would one of your own players leave Wake to go to UK? Because y'all suck and we don't. That's how it will always be. Nice red hair, carrot top. BBN forever. You wanna be.
Blue Ball Nation is mad.
Yeah. Big Baller Nation.
Yeah. There you go.
That's what I mean. Think it stands for here. I haven't had time to go to the phones.
You don't know how many people have called in.
I haven't even thought about the phones. Like, I have a radio show to do here. General policy on phones, if I have things to do, we're not going to them. But right now, I mean, could we fit one or two? Potentially. Should we? Because we got Adam Gold who's going to join us in 5 minutes. Then it's going to be B-Dot next hour. We're going to play with some playing cards, our NFL playing guard segment. You can tweet the show at SportsHubTriad if you'd like to chime in that way. I'm not going to be reading those tweets, but Robert... He seems to enjoy them. Maybe we can add to our list of things here. So there you have it. That caps some of the Big Blue Nation reactions I've gotten in the last 24 hours. There you go. So the University of Kansas, in other news, transition.
Oh my gosh, are we going to fight these guys too?
No, they received a response from the NCAA yesterday. The violations case that got the NOA right after NC State did last September. And apparently Kansas is choosing to be very aggressive, very forceful against the NCAA in trying to say it did nothing in relation to the FBI investigation into college basketball that all went down 2.5, 3 years ago. This might be North Carolina's greatest mark on college basketball in the last decade. It really might be. Because I remember when Penn State was dealing with the Jerry Sandusky scandal and Miami was dealing with Devin Shapiro, you wanted to be cooperative as possible. You wanted to be friendly to the NCAA. You wanted to be, you wanted to have all your ducks in a row and make sure that you were in their best graces when you dealt with the Committee on Infractions. Then the North Carolina academic scandal happens. North Carolina's lawyers fight tooth and nail to argue that the NCAA was ruling outside of its bylaws. They eventually won that, but that aggression has now been showcased and become the precedent for teams going up against the NCAA. We saw that with NC State arguing fervently that they didn't do anything wrong. Kansas doing that a little bit here. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see what punishment gets handed down, because in the past you accommodate the NCAA, now you fight them as firmly as possible. And it seems it started with North Carolina, that general practice. Was Steve Forbes out of line when he came on our show a few days ago and brought academics into it? Adam Gold, our early afternoon host, will join the discuss next on The Drive.
Josh Graham loves to talk sports. He also loves the way his new jeans highlight his man curves.
Ooh, hot.
That's hot.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
I think we've all been distracted away from the main issue of the day. And that is Robert putting his love out there, his love life on IG Live. He's on with B-Dot, our good friend who was in studio with us. And I really enjoyed watching you, man. You seem prepared from the moment the screen appeared and you're opening up like magnums.
Yeah, I had to start off with the right foot. You know, I didn't want anybody to think I was carrying in some, like, wimpy trash bags. You know, I had to get the hefty.
So before we get to the results of this, let's figure out, Robert, how he did and how he answered some particular questions. Let's start with, Robert, just give me an example of something you have.
So listen, okay, you got a lot of personality. I've known you for a couple of months. You seem like a very cool dude. Why are you single? What's the deal? Like, are you single by choice? Are you single because you can't find the right one? What is the problem?
I would say I'm more single by choice. I get irritated too easily, and I like my own space. I don't like that clingy shit. I like to do my own thing. But, I mean, for maybe the right woman, I might be on a pit bull chained up. You know what I mean?
Understood. All right, what do you like to do for a good time? Do you like to drink? Do you like to smoke? Do you like to party? Do you like to be home?
Since my potential employers might be watching, I do not smoke.
Okay.
But I like to have a good time. I'm down for just about anything.
Somebody said, are you a wrestling ref?
I used to do that on the weekends. Yeah, the place that I did the most with a couple of my friends, Chris Lee, that place is defunct now, so my weekends are kind of open.
Okay. But what's your sign?
I'm a Leo.
Would you date a black woman?
I ain't going to turn nothing down, but I will turn somebody over.
Wow. I need you to just isolate the last two questions he asks you concurrently, because I don't think B-Dot did you right. You were ready. You had your guns ready to go. You were loaded, kind of like Earl Thomas's girlfriend. You were ready to go, right? You were ready, but how do you ask these two questions back to back?
Yeah, what's your sign?
I'm a Leo.
Would you date a black woman?
I ain't gonna turn nothing down, but I will turn somebody over.
Can you imagine that in real life? What's your sign? Oh, I'm a Leo. Would you date a black woman?
He was. You, but that's what you get with B-Dot, and I understand that. I knew he was. I don't think he was trying to trap me, but I'm also a pretty witty character. So I mean, I appreciate the ammo right there. He kind of set me up for that.
Gosh, that's just tremendous. Give me another clip, then we'll get the beat out.
This is my favorite right here.
Look, it is a cool show, but I have some beef with you, though. Last week, you were a little racist, my man.
I've never been racist in my life.
You came right out and asked that guy if he fished. Like, what are you going to ask me if my mom seasons the chicken with salt and pepper? Like, you going to ask where my lips are? They're right here.
Robbie, does your mom season with salt and pepper the chicken? Does she season?
Yes, salt and pepper, and then some other like garlic or something.
She puts a bunch of stuff on the chicken, man. I'm out here asking for recipes.
Side story. While you were saying that, I want you to picture me sitting at my girlfriend's house. We both have plates of food in front of us. And what's on the menu? Seasoned chicken the way you just described it.
Shut up. With there was salt and a pepper.
Look. Yeah, there was a look. A mean look. Like, is Robert taking a shot at me right now?
I'm taking a shot at all the Caucastics.
Sarah Bradford was not happy with that whatsoever.
We got to show her some onion powder, maybe some like Old Bay or something.
Okay, let's get B-Dot in here. B-Dot, how did you think our guy did?
I thought Robbie did very well, man. He was hands down the most entertaining character I've had on the show this season. Robbie, you were great, bro.
I appreciate
that. That
man.
Line about I don't turn anything down, but I'll turn it over. I'm using that in promo material for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
That was gold. That was amazing.
All right. Well, give me the feedback that you've gotten on Robert B-Dot before we get to some of the feedback Robert's gotten behind the scenes.
Because they ain't giving me nothing.
Oh, wow. Well, feedback that I've got, usually people don't really tell me, you know, I don't get much feedback on the people that were on the show. But people were saying that, yo, I really like the white guy. He was cool. He had great personality.
What I would suggest is
while the 24 hours is still available on the IG, you go over there and look, and whoever was in there making comments, Robbie, I say you slide in their DMs and see what's up. We're getting some of that good mocha.
Oh, so I did see one girl I tried, and she was private. I might have to slide back through there tonight and see what's up on the second go-round.
It's funny. The way you described feedback you got on Robert is almost the exact opposite of what I get when I walk around. Oh, you're with The Drive? Oh, I love that black guy on the show, that B-Dot. Yeah.
Well, thanks.
There you go.
I appreciate that. Thank you for The Drive audience that continues to mention my name when you see Josh, and he continues to bring me back every Wednesday. And I know we're talking about Robbie, but I also want to let you know something real quick, Josh.
What's that?
You have my mentions going crazy with BBN, the horrible Kentucky fans. They're being very mean to me,
Blue Ball Nation.
Trying to defend you.
Yeah, I called the Kentucky fan on the air an idiot 30 minutes ago. Yeah. I don't think I've ever called a caller an idiot before. But
I told you, man, this week you have been out of character, Josh. Like, you have just been so aggressive, and I like it. I like it, Josh.
It's funny. I think I went on in Charlotte this morning, WFNZ over there, and yeah. I rallied up the morning show that they had. It's T-Bone, who's from the Triad, and Chris McClain. It's the Mac Attack. And they were both behind me saying, yeah, we're going to take it to Kentucky fans. And then I get a text from T-Bone a few hours later. Yeah, Mac's completely out because Big Blue Nation's all up in his mentions. He's done. He went a lot farther, though, than I went. He went a lot farther than I think any of us went yesterday together on this show. Like, I wasn't talking about teeth percentage rate. I didn't do any of that. I mean, he said this morning, I want to see if I can find that tweet. I've got stats. Wake fans have 99.8% teeth percentage. UK fans got 42.4. I didn't say that. Chris McClain and Charlotte did. But within a few hours, they succumbed to the Big Blue Nation because people can't get off Twitter. I can. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't mind it. You know, I got time. You know, we're in a pandemic. I'm working from home. So I'm just going back and forth. I don't really care. It's entertaining to me because I'm not a Wake Forest fan. I'm a Tar Heel fan. But they seem to have it misconstrued that this is just a Wake Forest and Kentucky beef. No, no, no. You went at Josh Graham, and Josh Graham doesn't just cover Wake Forest. He covers ACC. So, yes, we're going to get Luke May on and talk about how great it was to smash Kentucky. We own Kentucky as an ACC conference.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks for the call, B-Dot. Appreciate you letting Robert on, and we'll see if he has any level of success in the next few days.
Yes, let me know, man. I want to know what they've been saying to Rob. Has anybody slid in your DMs at all, Robbie?
Actually, I've gotten a relatively new one today. Last night, I got a DM from my friend's uncle telling me I was very funny. I said, Sam, you aren't the DM I was looking for. And then I got one early this morning from a UNCG student and said I was very funny, and she had to add me. And I've been talking kind of on and off with her all day.
Let's go!
We'll give you an update on that when you're in here next Wednesday. Thanks, B-Dot.
See y'all Wednesday. Be good, guys.
All right, there you go. You know, I will say this, that if I did a hit on a Louisville radio station earlier today, I will say this. Like, if anybody up there wants to have a host who has any level of experience covering a team that beats Duke, I'm your guy. Like, I don't think those guys have experience with that. Like, they don't know what that's like, because all they think about is Christian Laettner, of course. And they might think about, with North Carolina as well, Luke May hitting one in your eye hole. And I think that interview is going to be up in not too long. Luke May was with us earlier today, and it was good to catch up with Luke. Hadn't spoken to him for a few months. But his brother, Drake's going to be great at North Carolina, playing for Mack Brown's program, decommitting from Alabama to become a Tar Heel. This recruiting class is really good that they're bringing in. I think I read it. They have the third-ranked football recruiting class for 2021, and this year they have the third-ranked basketball recruiting class. If you ask a Tar Heel fan what they're most excited about, what class, football recruiting or basketball recruiting, most of them are telling you football right now, which is a really bizarre thing to hear. Granted, any of the Blue Bloods could become spoiled, and North Carolina and Duke, no exception to that. You kind of expect to have top 10 recruiting classes, even though North Carolina hasn't had that in the last handful of years. Now we can break down the reasons why that is, the NCAA cloud and the way they recruit, the players Roy wanted to bring in. But now they're getting a lot of the one-and-dones, and they have better recruiting classes. Still, people take basketball, I think, for granted at some of the Blue Bloods. When it comes to football, this is all newfound ground, and Mac has everybody excited. We love having Mac Brown here, one of the more entertaining guests that we have. But the football team, they're going to be picked to win the Coastal Division this year. If we're allowed to meet in Charlotte for an ACC Media Day, It's going to be Clemson picked in the coast, the Atlantic, and it's going to be North Carolina picked in the Coastal. That's just what it's going to be.
North Carolina right now.
You love that drop, don't you?
I do. Anytime you spend too much time talking about UNC, I just pop it right there.
Okay. This is a segment I look forward to each and every week. We have what you would describe to be high school superlatives, probably. Like, give me a preview of some of the high school superlatives that we pulled this week.
Due to the current climate that we're in, I added most likely to get in a Twitter war as one of the superlatives.
Why would you do that?
Just check out our Twitter. Most likely to steal alcohol from their parents in high school.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what we're going to do, we all love trading cards, and most of you like the NFL. So we got NFL trading cards here that we're going to open up packs of, and we're just going to go ahead and play an NFL trading card war. Oh, and we'll get to Earl Thomas as well. This is The Drive.
Your attention, please. It's showtime. Back to The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
Earl Thomas did what? We'll get to that in about 5 minutes or so. We have our NFL trading card war. We do this each week. We open a pack of cards. I usually get really excited about this because I collected baseball cards, but we already have our Throwback Thursday baseball segment with Darren. So imagine the nostalgia you maybe once felt opening up baseball cards as a kid, and now apply that with NFL trading cards. The easiest card game to play, I think, is war. You just sit down, you could have three different people, and you just flip a card, and whoever has the highest card wins. And if you have the same card flipped, then you have a war, of course, where you put down the three cards. You know the game. You know the rules of war. I don't need to explain it. We just mix these two together, opening NFL trading cards, and me and Robert, we are going to go to war here as we try to slot five players out of our 10-player deck into some superlatives, and we will debate who made the better choice. It is NFL Trading Card War.
This means war!
Oh, you're a tough little guy, aren't you?
This means war!
Hey, it's cool, it's cool!
This means war!
What? Does it have to? Can it mean something else?
Okay, you dirtbags! This means war!
Finish him!
Here are the five categories. The five superlatives, if you will. Most likely to steal alcohol from your parents. Actually, let's open up a pack so we have time to think about it while I'm listing these off. All right. Taking a look here. All right. Most likely to steal alcohol from your parents in high school. Most likely to fight an animal. What type of animal are we talking about here?
I think it's under the discretion of your pick. If you can make it work for a certain animal, you get
I'm talking about like a pet or a wild animal.
It could be a chicken. It could be a bear. It could be whatever.
I think what you described were both wild animals.
A chicken is a domestic animal.
Not if it's outside of somebody's residence.
Well, we didn't say fight with an animal outside someone's residence. We said fight with an animal.
Most likely to participate on Family Feud. Most likely, trying to read my own handwriting here.
Open their own used car lot.
Got it. Open their own used car lot. And most likely to get in a Twitter war. Okay. You feel pretty good about some of the picks you have here? I think there are some sure things I already have slotted down.
This is definitely the most notable names I've ever gotten a pack. So I think
that's usually a good sign.
Work. Yeah.
I think we've split the last couple.
Yeah, it's been pretty even.
Okay. Most likely to steal alcohol from your parents. Who do you got?
I have Jimmy Garoppolo. I feel like he was the cool kid, and everybody was like, oh, there's a party at Jimmy's house? Oh, Jimmy's bringing alcohol. But in all reality, it was tequila he stole from his father and poured in a water bottle.
I think I might have you top tier. I'm going Alvin Kamara.
Ooh.
Got the nose rings. He was kicked out of Alabama before going to Tennessee. He's got this troublemaker vibe to him. If you read the GQ story, or it might have been an ESPN story that Mina Kimes did on him, you will find that he is rambunctious, to say the least. So I'm going Alvin Kamara. Where are you leaning on this?
I don't know, man. It's tough because Jimmy kind of looks like a goody-goody kid, too. I mean, he's from Illinois.
Do the goody-goods steal alcohol from their parents or the ones that aren't goody-good? Because
maybe
I don't consider Alvin Kamara to be goody-good because of the reasons I just outlined.
I think that he would steal it his senior year. When the pressure's on them, they collapse. I don't know, man. That's pretty tough.
All right, we'll go Jimmy Garoppolo for that first one. You're in the early lead.
Nice.
Most likely to fight an animal. I got you here. It's Aaron Donald.
You got Aaron Donald. I could see him training like that, yeah.
Aaron Donald, he's the player in all of sports, I think, if the aliens come. Like the video that surfaced last week that the Pentagon put out confirming from 2004 to 2005 the UFO. Like if it turns out to be aliens and they want a piece of one American, we need to send them. I think Aaron Donald's the guy that we send. Like who's going to bleep with Donald? At that size, he can run real quick. Just brute strength. I don't care if it's a chicken or a bear. Give me Aaron Donald. Who do you got?
I picked Julian Edelman, mostly because of the bear scene in The Revenant, and I could see him looking a lot like that.
I think you took the L on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to submit to you, man. I would definitely see Aaron Donald leaving a cloud of feathers behind him.
So we're tied at one. Now most likely to be featured on Family Feud. I feel very strongly in my choice. It's Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, see, and we got doubles in these packs. And I got a double of a certain player. Are we going to allow playing twice, or should we say one per player?
Play one per player.
I would agree with that. I'm going to raise you Julio Jones and go ahead and secede that you win that round.
Because McCaffrey's family, we got Dylan over here. He's hanging out. You got Ed McCaffrey. And also, I just know from chatting with Christian the last few years, he knows a lot about random things. Like, big Kung Fu fan, loves Bruce Lee, video gamer, obviously knows a lot about football, and, oh, I forgot to mention, went to Stanford.
Yeah, he's not a dumb guy.
So there you go, Christian McCaffrey. I got the 2-1 lead. You need to get this one. Most likely to open a used car lot. I'll let you go first.
See, I think I've got this one based off my pitch alone. It is Honest Adam Thielen's used car lot. Come and get your Subaru and Subaru accessories. He's not going to lie to you. It's Adam Thielen, man. You would buy a car from that guy if it had three wheels.
Okay. That is a good pitch that you threw there.
Thank you.
But if there is an NFL position that you would most associate with being a used car lot very quickly, who would it be? Or what position do you think it would be?
Maybe corner.
Corner. I was thinking probably on offense.
So what do you got?
I'm going David Johnson.
David Johnson.
Like, he is an old used car at this point.
Yeah.
And he's involved primarily in a trade that sent maybe the best wide receiver to the Arizona Cardinals.
I think that I would not buy a car from David Johnson because he literally rode himself until the wheels fell off. So why would I trust a vehicle that's being sold by him?
Got it. So I just like the pitch. Can I hear it one more time?
Honest Adam Thielen's cars. Come and get your used Subaru and Subaru accessories.
All right. It all comes down to this last one here.
Gosh, man. And I,
most likely to get in a Twitter war.
I did not put this guy on Family Feud specifically to save him for this last pick. I'm going to raise you Odell Beckham Jr.
Wow. I'm coming to the table.
Let's
with
hear it.
Amari Cooper.
Oh, my gosh.
Rex Ryan calls the dude a turd.
Did he tweet after that? I think that's how we decide this.
I don't know. Let's figure that out. Let's see if Amari Cooper, one, has a Twitter, or number two, if he does, if he responded to Rex Ryan calling him a turd on national TV.
It looks like he has not tweeted since 2016.
Damn. I'm going to go ahead and take the L on this one. Robert, you are the NFL trading card war champion here. Odell Beckham, it's just such a solid play. Why were you considering him for Family Feud?
I feel like he would be a big enough star to bring on there because people know him for his hair, fighting the goalpost, and then he would be have enough personality to carry it. I mean, you don't really have to with Steve Harvey there, but he would be able to carry part of that entertainment load.
How's our Twitter feed looking?
I've actually taken a nice break from it to play Trading Card War with you, but it is a lot of people not happy with us. But there are some who are on our side, and I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm still getting it via text. I'm not checking the Twitter during the show. I don't know why I just called it the Twitter, sounding ancient, but it's just, why would you try to do something creative? Like a sports talk radio show. And while you're trying to do something, just welcome people to just roll down their pants and poo-poo on it.
All over it, man.
Right. It reminds me of something Wright Thompson once said. Wright Thompson, great writer at ESPN. I saw this weekend his story on Michael Jordan from 7-8 years ago. It resurfaced and I enjoyed rereading it, but he is not on Twitter, and he says he will never be on Twitter because, and only the way Wright Thompson could say, he says, yeah, why would I let somebody be able to say bleep you on my pocket? Why would I let somebody say bleep you in my pocket?
That's great. That's great.
And it's an excellent question. It really is. But it's amazing how much feedback I'm getting in the biz about everything that's happened. And quite frankly, I'm just trying to focus, put our head down, and do a good radio show. I suggest they do the same. Like, I don't know. I don't really want to perpetuate this thing any longer. I really don't even want to talk about it because, again, I read every single study out there where it says 15% of your audience is on Twitter. So whenever I get, hey, you're irrelevant because you have what, 2,900, 3,000 followers, I always respond, how much overlap do you really see between social media, specifically Twitter, and sports radio? Honest question. Like, I don't see a lot, unless it's that one Twitter account, Funhouse. I don't see a lot of what Cowherd says on social media. I don't see a lot of what, let's say, Mike Francesa says on Twitter. I just don't see it. Why? Because the people generally who are on Twitter a lot and interacting in that way, they usually aren't driving their cars. They're usually not while the show's going on. They're usually not the people that we're trying to reach on a given basis. Now, it might be different in other places. Certainly, sports talk's different in the Northeast. I assume it's different in Kentucky than it is here in the state of North Carolina. Like, I'll tell you this right now. There is a 0% chance I can do a Homer sports radio show in the Triad and expect to succeed. Like, just talking about Wake Forest, as much as I love the folks over there, and they're great. Coach Forbes, appreciate him being with us this week. Dave Clawson, tremendous coach. I'd argue there aren't two coaches, maybe three coaches in the ACC that are better than Dave Clawson. Awesome over there. North Carolina, Mac Brown, appreciate all of them. We just can't root for one team. We cover all of it. And the Panthers. Now, I don't expect people that are used to that to understand exactly what we do here, but that's just how it works. Anytime somebody says something negative about their team, oh, you clearly are biased and that's why you hate us. No, I hate Kentucky because the fans are annoying. That's it. I have nothing against Sar going there. I don't have anything against Calipari. I'm not out here saying he's a cheat like some other Homer shows do. I don't care about any of that. They're one of the best college basketball programs out there. Give me Duke and Carolina above them. Heck, give me UCLA too. But I have nothing personal against Kentucky other than their fans are obnoxious. They are. Right up there with the Ohio State football fan, Alabama football fan. It's why we did the poll question yesterday. And it's amazing, Robert, just the diversity in answers we got. Like how diverse the field was. Oh, UCF, I hate those people. A lot of that. Obviously, the NC State, North Carolina stuff here locally. Duke getting a lot of votes in that regard. I am rambling. Let's get to Earl Thomas, who, man, is having a day. This is the part of the story that hits home the most. Earl Thomas turned 31 today.
Happy birthday!
Hey! Earl Thomas, how are you celebrating? Well, last night, he put out a video to try and get ahead of a story that involved him and his brother involved in an orgy with women that they were not connected to. Like Earl Thomas, he's already got a significant other. But at some point last month, he tried to get out of that a little bit and get involved with his brother, obviously, here. So, in order to get ahead of the story, TMZ was the first one to get to it. Here's how he decided to respond to it.
So my agent just hit me and said that I'm going to be on TMZ tomorrow from an altercation that happened with me and Nina. So just wanted to get ahead of it. And I mean, it's really not anybody's business. It f***ed me off that it got out, but it's the world we live in today. But instead of talking about us, just keep us in y'all prayers. And stuff like this happens, bro. You know, we try to live the best lives we possibly can, but sometimes it don't go as planned. Just pray for us, you know, as we go through this stuff. You know, we're back talking. I'm seeing my kids. So just keep us in your prayers.
Stuff like this just happens. I don't think it does, Earl Thomas. Now.
Yeah, most people don't get caught.
Yeah, and most of them don't have a woman getting arrested as a result with what was a loaded gun, even though my understanding was the magazine was out. She didn't realize that there was still a clip there.
Which just proves how ignorant she was to the whole situation.
Like, I think most people would think that way, though.
I mean, if you know anything about guns, no, you would not think about that. If you're smart enough to take the clip out, then you would check the chamber to see if there was one in the chamber. And obviously she had the safety off. They noted that in TMZ. If you got the safety off, you're prepared to pull the trigger. Her finger was on the trigger, not necessarily in front of or the guard. It was on the trigger. And if you pull a gun out, you're prepared to use it. And whether she was acting off emotions or anything, at the end of the day, she had a gun with a bullet pointed at his head with her finger on the trigger.
Here's the question I have. That video, how many takes did he do? Because that sounds like a one-er.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like sometimes when you're trying to rush me to do a video that we put on social media before the show. Like, even if I stammer a little bit, you'll say, all right, sounds great, we're out. Like, and that's fine because we're just promoting a radio show. When you're potentially dealing with massive news involving your relationship and involving, I think it's going to affect your professional career as well, potentially, with the Baltimore Ravens, you might think, maybe I'll do a couple takes. Even if you like the first one. Like, did he do it and say, nailed it, that's the one?
Oh, no. Nah. His agents hit him up. He was hanging out in the house, and they were like, hey, can you do a video getting in front of this? And he's like, yep. He does it in 30 seconds, and he's out of there. Also, I think he's due like $16 million, and since it's not a criminal charge to him, I don't expect him to have any repercussions from the Ravens.
Well, also, the Ravens want to have him.
Yeah, of course. Why would you not?
L.O.B. What do you got in Ticket to the House today, Robert?
It's always 5 o'clock somewhere, but 5 o'clock came for this man somewhere under a transfer truck.
Specifically, it's 5:48 right now, and we'll take it to the house next.